time zone. We will be in Luke 20 in our Bible study. And we will begin by singing in the praise book, page 80, the Squire Parsons song, Beulah Land. If you're not sure when to jump in and when to jump out, just watch my hands.
Kind of homesick for a country to which I've never been before. No sad goodbyes will there be spoken, and time won't
The Lily of the Valley. That's different than just lilies, I learned this week. And what you're looking at on the screen, if you can see that, that's the Lily of the Valley. That's what it looks like. And Jesus is referred to as the Lily of the Valley. So let's sing about Jesus.
I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow he's my comfort, in trouble he's my stay. He tells me shall safely reach the goal. Hallelujah, he's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here. While I live by faith and do his blessed will. A wall of fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. With this man I need, my hungry soul shall fear. Then sweeping up to glory, I'll see his blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll. He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here. While I live by faith and do his blessed will. A wall of fire about me, I'm nothing now to fear. With his manna he, my hungry soul shall fill. Then sweeping up to glory, I'll see his blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll. Hallelujah, he's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
Sometimes you all get singing so good that I work myself to death. I can do double time. And I was like, oh, wait, I just do this to be quiet. All right, let's sing a little slower pace here. 236, Amazing Grace, all four verses. Singing to him face to face. As that song says, that day's coming.
Amen.
All All right, onliners, get your prayer request into bbfohio@protonmail.com. And raise your hand in the house. Janie will bring you a card to fill out. And we will pray after we shut off the live stream for privacy purposes. As our camera crew checks the sound. And Sean, I guess you hear me thumping that.
I do.
And get the cameras all zoomed in and ready.
I will.
While the rest of you silence your cell phone ringer.
We'll
be
one
in
of my
Luke
phones.
20 if you want to get your Bible open.
It says it's singular, so I only have to do it for one of mine.
Luke 20, verses 20 through 26. We're going to talk about paying taxes. Praise the Lord. Don't get mad at me. I'm just preaching verse by verse through the Bible, and that's what it's going to do it. In the meantime, hold your questions and comments to the end of our current events update. Let them eat bugs. Get used to it. This is to keep you current. And if you're going to be current, you're going to have to get used to seeing people trying to convince you to eat bugs. For real. The elite, they'll put on a show. Sometimes they'll eat fake bugs. They'll probably be gummy worms or something like that.
I'll eat those.
Just like with the COVID shot, I believe a lot of them never did get the shot.
Amen.
And I believe the same thing's happened with the bugs. That they're going to pretend to eat bugs. But in this case, I think this lady really is eating bugs. Her name is Nicole Kidman.
I am here to reveal my hidden talent. Eating micro livestock. Cornworms. They're still alive.
Now, two things there. You notice she didn't call them bugs. They're micro livestock. See, that's how these leftists and globalists are like Satan. They abuse the language. Satan, go back to Genesis 3, Matthew 4, Luke 4, Satan perverts the language. And that's and we were warned about it in 1984 by George Orwell.
Yep.
And sadly, the leftists and globalists think that that was a blueprint. But she goes on. Oh, let me. Sorry, I jumped to hit the button.
Very moist, chewy. Can't quite describe the flavor, but need a little water. Let's try the second glass, shall we? Just a little side note. 2 billion people in the world eat bugs, and I'm one of them.
Don't those look delicious? Yeah.
No.
I thought this was real life. I didn't think this was Star Trek.
I'm telling you, I'd win Survivor.
Oh, you're right. Wasn't that a next-gen episode?
That is a fruity taste. I'd recommend it. Here we have. Oh.
Wow. Can you imagine eating this?
Nothing.
I've had fried crickets.
And look, it's like, this is so good.
Like nothing you've ever tasted. Like,
is she a frog?
Very.
But you know why they're doing this? Because that's how stupid people are.
Oh my gosh. And not from Michelle.
People will do this. Just get used to it. It's going to be the end thing now. You'll probably go to the county fair, the state fair, and Kings Island, and Cedar Point, places like that, and that'll be one of the stands, or there'll be several throughout the park. Over here you can get your fried grasshoppers, and over here you can get your squiggly worms, but it'll be micro livestock, and you can virtue signal, take a picture of yourself, eating it, put it on social media, because you're saving the world. The World Economic Forum is behind a lot of this, and that's the WEF, the people behind the Great Reset. To fully understand, this is from The Vigilant Citizen. That's an online source that is better than your mainstream news media. To fully understand why the elite wants us to eat bugs, we must first wrap our heads around one important fact. They're looking to redefine what it means to be a human on Earth. They believe that we have too many freedoms and that we consume too many resources. They're also getting rid of things like family. Now two men, two women, and two and three and four and animals involved and everything are going to be family. They are trying to get rid of the male and female created he them. Mm-hmm. But they're trying to get rid of that and say that they're how many, 75 or something like that, genders. And whatever you are doesn't matter. It's how you feel or what do you want to identify as. All that is behind or all that is being pushed by globalists, leftists, progressives. This is an advertisement. You'll own nothing and you'll be happy. See, I've said this many, many a times over the years. They don't want to lift the rest of the world up. They want to bring middle class America and middle class wherever it exists around the world down.
And then leave the elites in their own little elite group.
That's why Joe Biden and the Democrat administration right now is purposely causing you to pay twice what you should be paying for gasoline, and twice what you pay for electricity, and twice what you pay for any of your groceries. Why? So that they can bring you down. This is by design. It's not accident. They're not that stupid. They know that what they're going to do is hurting you. They're doing it on purpose. And by the way, you wonder why the mainstream progressive type Republicans hated Donald Trump? It's because they are no different.
Yeah.
And he got in their way when he had the independent energy policy and allowed the Keystone Pipeline and other pipelines to bring in natural gas. And listen, if I'm talking to anybody in here who is against the use of fossil fuels, you are a practical Satanist. If you do not believe that we should be using fossil fuels, you're anti-Bible and anti-God. We always have to put in the, you know, disclaimer. Yes, we believe we should be good stewards. We believe we should not pollute. We believe that we should use wisdom. We believe that we should and utilize other sources, including the sun. But to say that you're against fossil fuels, you're telling me that you are a follower of Satan and not of God. And you say, that's a little rash and extreme. You won't think so if your bills keep going up and you start having trouble paying your bills, putting a roof over the heads of your family and feeding your family. That's when the Satanism will start to look real.
Yep.
Sadly, it takes that before a lot of people wake up. You will own nothing and you'll be happy. That's what they're after. And that's why in public schools they don't teach kids how to balance a checkbook. They don't teach kids what they need to make in income in order to have a certain level of lifestyle. They don't teach the kids that it's better to buy a house and have some equity than to just rent your whole life and so forth and so on, because they want people to be renting everything, renting your house, renting your car, renting your furniture. They want you to own nothing and still be happy because you're totally clueless about the fact that you're a slave.
That's right.
Psychologists say a good life doesn't have to be happy or even meaningful. They've got the majority of people in this country relying on psychotherapists, psychiatrists, psychologists, counselors of every sort, rather than God's Word. And a lot of my time as a pastor is trying to wean people off of that secular, worldly, anti-God agenda and back to the Word of God. It's the reality now. That's ministry. It's going to be that way. And I always have to, you know, put the disclaimer in there. There are some people who need special help and all that kind of thing, but not nearly the number that are actually being put into those situations. How many people need a certain psych med? There are some people who need that, but nowhere near the number of people who are on it. But it serves their purpose, and that's why they're pushing it. And also the love of money, because they're making billions off of it. If they can get you on dope and it's called a maintenance drug, you might as well call yourself an addict. You're hooked. You're going to be paying that bill. You say, well, my insurance pays it. You're paying the premium, and the insurance company is the middleman, but you're still paying for it. You're not making as much money as you could because of insurance costs. You know, you're paying for it. Your paycheck isn't as big as it could be because of insurance costs. So it's like anybody who thinks what the government gives out is free. No, they're taking it out of us, and then they redistribute the wealth. It's Marxism. Marxism. In short, they see us as cattle. Other than restricting every aspect of our lives, they also want us to consume much fewer resources. This is where the bug-eating agenda comes in. The reason I started out with the bug-eating agenda is because it's just in your face, the reality. They want you to live like the uncivilized tribes down in South America or Africa or where in the sticks of Siberia or wherever. They're trying to bring our quality of life down. Not theirs.
Yep.
They will still live like kings. Just like all these hypocrites who go around lecturing you about carbon footprint as they get on and off their jets. That's the model right there. You're seeing reality. That's what's coming. It's already in a lot of countries, and it's becoming more and more prevalent in the United States of America.
Yeah.
Using buzzwords such as sustainability, the global elite is defining what it is a responsible diet while increasingly shaming those who eat meat. The propaganda is now pervasive and unrelenting.
So this one is from BuzzFeed News. Why bugs are the high protein and fiber rich food you should be eating. I will eat bugs when Bill Gates eats bugs.
Amen.
Yeah.
I'll eat bugs when I won't then either.
Probably not.
Bill can, but I get the point. She makes a good point. But these ladies are mocking and made fun of. Their Rebel News, I believe, is out of Canada, and that's going on in Canada. They're teaching the kids. Children are being targeted with materials like this in their schools. You get a bunch of kids in school, and especially when you can get the cool kids to say, "This is cool. This is cool." All of a sudden, yeah, I've said that for a year. If any of these guys now, I don't know who they are, but if they were to walk around with pencils hanging out of their ears or pencils hanging out of their nose, all the kids would start doing it. That's the definition of sheeple. And we are there. I mean, this is in the classroom. They've handed out little baggies of bugs.
There's this company right here in Manitoba. They're called Prairie Cricket Farms. And what they do is they farm crickets and they put them in nice little bags.
Nice little bags.
And eat them.
Now look, they're looking around and they're seeing all the other kids are enjoying it. Lee's face. They taste good. See, this is what happens when the government controls your children. They take them all into a room and they can program them. Not only are they good, but you get a frisbee.
Wow.
That's going on all over the world, all over the country, and the parents don't even know it unless the kids go home and say, "You won't believe what he ate, what I ate today." Oh, yeah, what? Cockroaches. And they were tasty, like popcorn.
Some kids say, "I don't have to go to school to get out,
I got
those at home."
Yeah. Yeah, some of the kids are already eating those at home. But they put out these kind of charts where they show how much healthier it is for you and for planet or Mother Earth, for the environment, if you eat an insect instead of a chicken, a pig, or a cow. And then they hand out these kind of flyers. 10 reasons you should eat bugs. Now, think about this. This is the 10 reasons. I'm not going to go through all 10, but
wow.
Number one, lots of kids are eating bugs. That's what we just saw. If you can convince them it's cool and everybody's doing it.
That's the number one reason?
That's what it is. Number one reason is because everybody's doing it. Number two, this is a reason to eat bugs because you can educate others. Think of how mindless this is.
Yes.
Number three, they're tasty. Well, you know what? You can pretty much dip anything in chocolate or peanut butter and it's going to taste good.
You know. Yeah.
Number four, bugs can't make us sick like meat can. The meat is evil. Look on the bus. If you can see that, the license tag says, "Eat bugs." Number five, they don't have to look like bugs. When bugs are made into flour, we can't even see them. Let's eat cockroach pancakes. Yay!
No, thank you.
No,
Folks, this is the world you're living in. And you're going to see this more and more. And it's all the billionaire elitist globalists who are behind the Great Reset. They want to bring you down. They're not going to go out and take the people who are eating bugs because they have to and elevate their standard of living. What they're going to do is make you one of them.
Yep.
Meanwhile, they're still going to live their standard. That's what's happening. And then they're going to require you to take a mark in order to buy, sell, or trade. That's coming after the rapture. And that's it. So we have a potluck. If you want to bring bugs, go right ahead.
No, thank you.
I'm not going to eat. Charlie?
So there, just like people can be allergic to shellfish, there are a lot of people who are allergic to protein.
I can tell you right now, I am allergic to bugs. I mean,
at least you swallow up from a mosquito bite.
Yeah, I can't imagine your mom eat a mosquito.
Yeah. Yeah, it's also, I believe it's a higher percentage of people than shellfish or most other food allergies are allergic to bugs. Like, we're not supposed to eat them.
Yeah. It's kind of a natural thing. Jessica?
Well, when I was in sixth grade, it was a long time ago.
I'm not touching that. Go on.
I know. But anyway, that's okay. It was a long time ago. Anyway, the teacher, she was a Christian, though. But I remember she said we were going to give us chocolate-covered ants, which were raisin eggs. I don't think they really were. But
now, I'm not saying that if you ever ate a somebody made chocolate-covered grasshoppers one time, and I ate them just to see what they taste like.
Yeah.
I've eaten frog, rabbit, duck, geese. That's not really any of those, don't really hit my, you know, fancy, so I'll probably never eat them again. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with tasting them, but as you notice, the goal was to convince them to make it a part of your diet. That's where it's getting in trouble. Chomp.
On one of my cross-country bike rides, I had a bug fly into my mouth, and before I knew it, I swallowed it. Believe me, it was disgusting. It did not taste good. And I just recommend anybody that wants to eat a bug, it's nasty.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Or if you want to, just ride around on your bike with your mouth open.
There you go.
Free.
Exercise.
Johnny.
Maybe they... It reminded me of Star Trek there, because I think there's at least two races in the Star Trek show that eat stuff like that all the time.
Yeah.
And it's like nasty.
Yeah.
Greg?
Yeah, there's in survival school, pilots actually have to eat worms and bugs in case they get, you know. Yeah.
Right. So desperation.
There's a place for that.
Desperation.
But that's desperation.
Yeah.
Survivability.
That's what I'm saying. These people who are eating bugs now are doing it out of desperation, not because they want to. You know, and, you know, as a matter of fact, I mean, you know, if it comes down to it, you have to drink your own pee if you're dehydrating out in the desert or something. I'm not going to go buy a bottle of it, you know. I mean, that's... Jenny and Darren, then we have to go back to...
So I've heard if you don't eat meat, you become more passive. So do bugs have what meat has where I can at least stay violent? Or, you know...
Yes, you're so violent. Eat more meat. I don't have any idea. Darren.
We might have to have someone look into it, but I saw something on info where they're showing one time where they had this research and this protein powder they're coming out with is made out of bugs. The bug skeleton has like chitin in it, and they're saying that it can be bad for your heart and do the same thing as vaccines are doing.
Yeah. You know, I've always said this about anything natural. It can be as deadly as something that's chemical, something that's made in a laboratory. If you just go out and start eating mushrooms, see how long you last.
Yeah.
I mean, so berberine for diabetics is something that has helped a lot of people, but when it's taken wrongly, but also there are some people who have bad reactions to it. So it doesn't matter if it's natural or so if it's bugs and they're grounding them up into powder or making pancakes or protein powder or whatever, you better be real careful. You know, just because something says natural on it doesn't mean it's not going to hurt you.
Poison ivy is pretty natural.
Is
All right, I'm going to make Jill my last one here. Go ahead.
Well, the last thing I've been saying is God does tell us some bugs we can't eat.
Yeah, John the Baptist ate locusts and wild honey.
And just stick with what God says is okay. Yeah. You're going to do it.
But, you know, John the Baptist had a lot of things about him that aren't true about us. You know, he was filled with the Holy Ghost in the womb, you know, and that sort of thing. So, all right, that's enough of that. Just keep you current. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Let's open with a word of prayer and then get into our Bible study. And ask Brother Charlie up front here if you would.
Dear Lord, we thank you for this day and we thank you for all the good things that you continue to bless us with. We pray that you would give each one here clarity of mind and wisdom as we go through this life, that we'd be able to make good choices for ourselves and for our families. I pray that you would open our understanding to your word, and I pray that you would bless Greg as he teaches this morning. I pray that you would bless the potluck afterwards, and I pray that you would just guide us and protect us. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen. 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 All right, we'll get into our Bible study. I just want to say this. I had a real good time with John, Jill, and Jenny at the Ohio State Buckeye game yesterday. And weather similar to today, except for it was cloudy because of Ian. And then right at the end, the sun shone.
Beautiful.
And so it was beautiful. It was a nice time. Of course, it's good because the Buckeyes won.
Amen.
And so we had a good time with that and everything. Got a few gospel tracks out.
Mm-hmm.
John, I don't know how many John got out. He wins.
Yes.
But he also lost something and then miraculously found it again. So it's all a good time.
Oh, yeah.
And if you can get tickets at a decent price, it's a good time. But we got a decent price. All right, Luke 20, we're going to pick up verse 20 where we actually studied our text last week, but for context, we're going to start there in verse 20 again, through verse 26, titling this message, Paying Taxes, Render Unto Caesar. So we're going to have a real holy roller time today. You're running the aisles, I'm sure. We begin with verse 20, as I said, for context. So let's read the even verses all the way through verse 26, beginning in verse 20. Read with me. And they watched him and sent forth spies, which should feign themselves just men, that they might take hold of his words, that so they might deliver him unto the power and authority of the governor. And they asked him, saying, Master, we know that thou sayest and teachest rightly, neither acceptest thou the person of any, but teachest the way of God truly. Is it lawful for us to give tribute unto Caesar, or no? But he perceived their craftiness, and said unto them, Why tempt ye me? Show me a penny, whose image and superscription hath it. They answered and said, Caesar's. And he said unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things which be God's. And they could not take hold of his words before the people, and they marveled at his answer and held their peace. Amen?
Amen.
So as we began there, verse 20, someone this week said, you know, it's funny, I'd read that verse before, and I thought it was just saying that they feigned themselves just men, like they were pretending to just be the regular average Joe. So I hope you listened last week and got the meaning of that text. It's they were pretending to be just
men.
Not just men, but just as in being decent, righteous, godly, not just in that sense. If you missed it, go back and listen to that message from last week. So we have the setting, and now we see the conspiracy play out. I mentioned last week where it says in verse 20 that they might take hold of his words, that so they might deliver him unto the power and authority of the governor. I mentioned we would come to that in our following study, and we are now there. Verse 21, and they asked him, saying, Master, we know that thou sayest and teachest rightly, neither acceptest thou the person of any, but teachest the way of God truly. And that is just insincere flattery. They don't mean it. Which is why in a couple of verses, Jesus, it says he perceived their craftiness. Beware when men bow down before you. They may just be bending over to grab the rug and pull it out from underneath you. The Bible does not speak well of flattery. Now, if you are sincere and you tell somebody, and you really mean it, that you appreciate them, or, you know, like, man, Charlie, you've got great hair. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, Olivia, you have the most beautiful babies. They look just like you. I'm just kidding. But, you know, you go up to people and you tell them, I've told some of you that I appreciate things you've done around here. Some of you have told me those things, and there's nothing wrong with that. We should encourage one another. You know, tell somebody when you think that they're, you know, doing good, and let them know you appreciate it. That's not what we're talking about here. These people are liars. They don't mean what they're saying. And that's happened to me a lot in the ministry. As a matter of fact, some of the most vicious attacks that I've ever had on me personally have come from people who started out saying, you are so great. I just think you're the best teacher since the Apostle Paul. I think you're just, oh, and they'll just talk. And I'm thinking, you know, when I was in my 20s, people would come up and compliment me like that. And my early 20s. And I'd think, well, okay. I'll take your word for it. But then they kept turning on me. And as soon as I turned my back, it seemed like I'd get a dagger. So then by my later 20s, I started to become a little suspicious of people like that. I walked into church. I was going to preach in. The woman looks and says, you must be the preacher. And I said, oh yeah, why do you say that? She goes, because there's a glow about you. And I said, well, it's because the sun's hitting my head. That happens to bald guys. I just blew it off, you know. And I just stopped taking that kind of flattery seriously. Now, when I feel like someone's being sincere and everything, I don't make fun of them. You know, I don't, thank you, I appreciate it. And that's something, learn to take a compliment. Don't be too spiritual to take a compliment. But if you think that people are serious, just say thank you. Some people make it really awkward. You know, oh, thanks for doing that. Oh, it wasn't me. God created me, gave me every bit of the ability I have. You should only thank him. Don't thank me. Okay, I'll never thank you again. Don't make it awkward. Deal with people in a way that doesn't put them in a bad situation. You know, even if they aren't, even if these guys, you can deal with it tactfully. So anyway, scripture with scripture. King David recognized this mark of deception in his own enemies. Go over to Psalm 5. Let's look at this. And it's funny because, like in this circumstance here, we're seeing Jesus. He's dealing with these people, and we're going to see that all the Word of God was in him. He was in possession of all this wisdom that we look at back in the Old Testament, for example. We're going to read this. We need to learn this from God's Word. Jesus knew this. He is the Word. Psalm 5, verses 8 and 9. Look, it says in verse 8, lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. Read verse 9 with me. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue. See? Just because someone's telling you something you like to hear, don't just be gullible and think that that person really likes you. I mean, there are a lot of people who know how to use flattery. And how many times you've seen it in a TV show where there's this old guy, he's my age or older, but he's got a lot of money. And then here comes this beautiful young 20-something. And she starts telling him, oh, how handsome. You're just so dapper. You're just, and in her mind she's thinking, money, 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 money. That's a, for some of you may not know, that's a song. But anyway, I've known a couple of people who really, that was why a younger thing married them. But we see it in TV shows a lot because it happens a lot among the stars in Hollywood. And they flatter. And the gullible old guy just falls for it. Goes along with it. Of course, it's happening more to women now. Because more women are getting into wealth. And then, what do they call them? Cougars? You know? Well, if you're a cougar with money, these days you better be careful, because if he gets you into a marriage and then he lives off your income for about 6 months, he can lay claim to that in alimony. It's happening. So flatteries will be a defining characteristic of the Antichrist.
That's right.
That's, well, just read it. Daniel 11:21, and in his estate shall stand up a vile person. If you haven't followed along, we have a study on this text. To whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably. Remember that? Saying peace and safety. And obtain the kingdom by what?
Flatteries.
Flatteries. You know what a flat, someone who teaches, says things that just tells you what you want to hear so that you elect them. That's an example of that. So after thinking they've set the table, you see nothing. The Pharisees now lay the trap. Look at verse 22. This is their trap. Is it lawful for us to give tribute unto Caesar or no? See, what they think they're going to get him doing is being a traitor to his country. By saying, you know, yes, Caesar is our king, so we must give. And the attitude of the Jew was, they didn't respect him as king, although they submitted to him as a ruler. But they were very anti-government in that time and anti-Caesar. And one of the reasons is because they worshipped him like a god. They would burn incense in his honor and offer sacrifices in his honor and all that sort of thing. But Jesus wasn't fooled by their flattery or by their deception. And they did not realize that they were dealing with the omniscient God in human form. Jesus is not 50-50. Jesus isn't just a man. Jesus was 100% man, 100% God. That's the mystery of the incarnation. It's in 1 Timothy 3:16. God was manifest in the flesh. He was fully man, fully God.
Amen.
They didn't realize they were dealing with someone who was more than a man. You ever hear somebody say, well, Jesus was not really God, but he was a good teacher, a good human teacher. A good human teacher who claimed to be God, that would not be good.
Amen.
See, I think it was C.S. Lewis who said that you either have to accept him as Lord or you have to accept him as a lunatic on the level of a man who believed that he was a poached egg, or he was a liar. Either way, he would not be a good teacher if he's not Lord. He's not. You can't have it both ways. Either he is God or he is a devil. And that's why the cults are so wicked, because they present a Jesus who is a false Jesus who is actually a devil. There it is, 1 Timothy 3:16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Say it with me. God was manifest in the flesh. Problem. It's not found in corrupt new versions. The words God was is changed to he was, removing the reference to Jesus as God. Yeah, he appeared in a body is another way that you'll see it phrased. So God in flesh now lowers the boom. Look at verses 23 and 24. I love this. But he perceived their craftiness and said unto them, why tempt ye me? Just stop and meditate on that.
Amen.
I just love this. I love Jesus. I mean, I'm glad I don't have to ignore certain things about him like a lot of people do, because their Jesus is one that they've made up in their figment of their imagination. They don't like certain things about the biblical Jesus, so they just skip it and everything. I love it all. I love it when he's so tender. I love it when he's just, he reaches out and heals people and just so gracious to people and you know, all the examples we could go through, but I also love it when he just rips them a new ear hole. Because those are people who need a new ear hole. Don't you love Jesus? If you do, you love that one too. You don't pick and choose. And by the way, Jesus is the God of the Old Testament.
Yeah.
People are teaching you, well, I don't believe that old, mean Old Testament God, but I love the New Testament God or New Testament Jesus. Sorry, same God. And we could go on and on. I have at other times talking about that. But Johnny?
Just a thought I had recently, all the people who complain about or say that God is mean in the Old Testament, they're not thinking about all the times in history of the Old Testament where he wasn't killing people.
Right. Right.
It's kind of, the Old Testament gives us more of the highlights, and there were, from what I can tell, centuries and millennia where he didn't kill anybody.
And then in a couple of weeks, we're going to see in Jonah. I mean, that Jonah got mad at God because he was so patient and long-suffering.
That's right.
You know, there are many times in the Old Testament you'll see that.
Yeah.
So here, they walked right into it. Verse 24, show me a penny. Now, I'm saying it that way because I think that's how he said it. I don't think he said, show me a penny. Show me a penny. Whose image and superscription hath it? They answered and said, Caesar's. Now, this is a coin that was minted in 48 BC. Now, like your coins, most of the coins in your pocket were minted many years before today. And if you find them old enough, they can be worth some money. If you find one of these, it'll be worth some money. But this was minted in 48 BC and would have been the same type of coin Jesus handled. And look at the bottom there, if you can see that.
Caesar.
So he asked the question, whose image and superscription hath it? They answered and said, Caesar's. That's what they saw. Something similar to that. Verse 25, and he said unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which be Caesar's, and unto God the things which be God's. Well, the problem was is that answer didn't give them the fuel that they needed for their fire. Jesus in his wisdom answered them in such a way that left them looking at him like, I have no response for that. It's a little bit like watching Wile E. Coyote trying to catch the Roadrunner. I know, that demonstrates the juvenile mind that works up here, you know. But when I see this, I think of Wile E. Coyote. Jesus clearly says we should pay tribute, which is another word for taxes, required by the government. Say amen.
Amen.
Sorry.
He didn't say you have to like it. Amen?
Yep.
Right.
Amen.
If you are here today and you say, I like paying taxes, I'm going to say, shut up. But the Bible doesn't say, we talked about, it's similar to what we talked about in Sunday school. The Bible says, I have to love every one of you, even if I don't like you. And if anybody in here says, I like everyone in this room, I'm going to say, shut up. God knows you're lying. There's always, in a group of more than five or six human beings, there's going to be one of them that you really, really don't like. If you like them so much, why aren't you calling them all the time and inviting them over to your house to hang out and so forth and so on? But if you love somebody, then that just means you treat them the way you ought to treat them. And you pray about it and desire to improve your relationship with them. Amen?
Yeah.
Well, taxes. We don't have to like it. So why do we do it? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Amen?
Amen.
So it's kind of like that friend that you really don't like. But you just keep being nice and keep doing what you're supposed to do because you love the Lord. And the Lord gives you the ability to love even the people you don't like. And He also, if you receive a paycheck, you don't really have to do much of anything. The government just comes right in with you and makes your employer an unpaid agent of the government to collect your taxes and give to them. That's how bad it is here in America. At least back in Jesus' day, they had to send guys out and collect. These days, your employer becomes the agent of the government. Not by choice, by the way. He don't like it any more than you do. So, as your pastor, I believe I should address the practical application for 21st century Americans for just a few minutes. The income tax. If you have a job and you get paid by your employer, you'll see taxes coming out. You'll see that most of you are paying at least 30% of your income into some form of taxes. Some of you are paying up to 60% or more. And then if you add to that all the taxes you pay at the gas pump, all the taxes you pay when you buy anything that's not food, all the taxes you're paying if you're buying booze, and if you are, shame on you, all the taxes that you're paying for all these other things,
cars,
then there are other taxes. When you get a license plate, it's a tax. When you get your driver's license or get it renewed, that's a tax. When you get married and decide to go through the government and get that marriage license, it's actually a marriage tax. And go on and on and on. All the taxes. And one of the things going to be wonderful about the kingdom of Jesus Christ, no more taxes.
That's right.
But this income tax, the founding fathers did not believe in income tax.
Amen.
There's no income tax allowed in the Constitution. Except the Constitution allowed the legislature to pass laws to collect taxes. And so at the time of the Civil War, also known as the War of Northern Aggression, according to which the original income tax was called the Revenue Acts of 1861 and 62. It was to pay for the Civil War, and it was temporary. It stopped in 1866. I know Johnny's laughing because usually when the government does something, it's never temporary.
No.
Once the government sets up an agency, forget it. It'll be there forever till the Lord comes back at least. Number two, though, the modern income tax was established by the passage of what's called the 16th Amendment to the Constitution. Now, was it legal?
No.
Now, there are many who believe that the 16th Amendment was not legally ratified, and it was basically just forced into the Constitution. And they make a good case. But it doesn't matter. Unless or until the 16th Amendment is legally repealed, it has been made law by one means. They have the power of the military. They have the power of federal forces. They have the power of the purse. And so that's, and a lot of Americans like to protest that. There's actually tax protesters who don't pay their taxes and they go to jail when they get caught and that kind of thing. But I always talk to people like that. I say, listen, it was no different when Jesus said what he said here in Luke 20. Caesar, he wasn't elected.
That's right.
Caesar, it wasn't by the will of the people. There was no constitution and Bill of Rights. It was just by the power of force. And I'll tell you, if I've had Christians come to me and say, well, I'm not paying my taxes and I'm not going to pay my taxes. I said, all I can tell you is be ready to do the time if you're going to do the crime. Don't come crying and, if you get, go to prison for 3 years, like some of these people do, some more than that. I pay my taxes because the government has a gun to my head. They have the power. I have the teaching. Now, if Jesus had not said this, and Romans 13 wasn't there, that's another problem for the tax protesters. But if the Bible didn't address it, I might be a little more prone to be a, you know, a protester.
Yeah.
But the Bible says what it says. So, I believe you should pay your taxes. But if you don't, and you go to prison, I'll visit you. I would never disown anybody over that. Well, you know, it's true about anybody who commits any crime. We'll still visit you and pray for you, you know. But I'm just here to tell you that I'm not. Don't expect me to pick up guns and try to shoot you out of the place or anything like that. Just ain't going to happen. Did you want to ask me?
Well, I don't want to rain on your upcoming parade, but are you going to mention...
I'm not done yet.
Peter and his fish and his taxes?
Oh, well, that's another example. Yeah, that's another example. Now, some say, well, I can't go out and catch a fish and pay my taxes. You're not Jesus.
He did that for him. He helped him pay his taxes.
Yeah. Yeah, he didn't tell you not to pay it.
Yeah.
Yeah. The third thing about the income tax is that the fact income was not supposed to include your wages.
Right.
The original definition of income was not wages earned. But when you elect what we now call liberals who don't respect law and they make up law on the bench, just like they did with Roe v. Wade, they had judges hearing these things and laid down the decisions that allowed them to interpret the word income as wages. And the rest is history. It's all in your pay stubs. Yep. You want to learn more at American Family Radio, American Family Network, AFA is behind all that. They have a website, and a fellow named Brian Fisher, one of the radio hosts, wrote a very interesting article, Sticking It to the Rich Backfired on Americans. And the reality is that this originally was just going to hit the rich people. That's why income was on like dividends from capital investments and such. But every time people try to stick it to the rich people, it always ends up hitting the poor guy. And as I said, this is one comment under the article. It says, a good article with some very good points. As a warning, though, all but one person I know who took on the IRS bit off a lot more than they could chew, and it pretty much wrecked their lives. For now, we must render unto Caesar. Yeah. And how many of you remember Ken Hovind?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that Ken Hovind went to prison, and it destroyed his marriage, destroyed his ministry. And he's got a ministry now, but it'll never be the same. It also messed him up, and he got into bad doctrine as a result and all that. Do you want to learn more? There's also a documentary called America, Freedom to Fascism.
Excellent.
Aaron Russo. And it's available free online, but we have a copy if it's not checked out in our library. The second thing to discuss is the Federal Reserve. Inflation is a tax. our Caesar is an unelected cabal hatched by conspiracy on Jekyll Island back in 1913, I believe it was. 1912 was when they met, I believe. And they call it the Federal Reserve. And the Federal Reserve controls our money. The Federal Reserve Act was passed at midnight on Christmas Eve that year by stealth. But it did become law. So they waited until everybody but a quorum had gone home for the holidays. And on Christmas Eve, when no one was paying attention, they passed the Federal Reserve Act. Yeah.
Yeah. When that was passed, I did study on the Titanic factor that in it. President, Democrat, Senate, Democrat, and House Representative, Democrat.
Yeah.
All Democrats.
Yeah. It was, and back then it was a different Democrat Party, but it was, I thought John was going to say, when they passed that, I was right down there protesting.
No.
But number three, I put the wrong thing there, but buying gold and silver and or digital currency are alternatives to the Federal Reserve System, but they come with limitations and risks. The cure, again, would be to repeal the Federal Reserve Act, and I don't think it's going to happen in this lifetime. But if you want to learn more about that, there's a website, themoneymasters.com, and they have, for years, been pushing this plan called the Plan to National Economic Reform and Recovery, which would take back the power to print money and take it away from the Federal Reserve. There's also several resources, at least two of which I think we have in our library right now. The Money Masters, you might know William Steele, he narrates it. The History of Money by Jack Weatherford is a book that I read and recommend. And then The Creature from Jekyll Island tells the story behind the passage of the Federal Reserve and such by G. Edward Griffin. And as I said, I'm not sure the creature, we might need to get a copy of that in here because I think it might have disappeared somehow. But those are all good resources. But don't get too caught up in money and tax issues. A lot of Christians just get overboard. I mean, they get caught up in this stuff and they just go overboard with it because it's all going to burn. Amen, Jenny?
Amen.
It's all going to burn. I mean, I believe in being a good steward, and if there's something we can do to change this, support people who will make things right and all that. But our purpose is not to reform government. Our purpose is not to, you know, set up a Christian theocracy. We're against that.
Amen.
We do not believe in that. We believe in the true freedom of religion and freedom of the press, and we believe in the true First Amendment that is against the establishment of a religion in America. We're against the establishment of religion. We do not want there to be a state church. We don't want tax money to go supporting churches and all that. But there's no such thing as the separation of church and state.
Yeah.
That's not in the Constitution or Bill of Rights. Go look it up. We've got copies right here for you. That refers to keeping the state and the church from becoming united like it is in England.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all that's the phrase separation of church and state that Thomas Jefferson used when he was writing to a bunch of Baptists. And he was trying to explain to them, listen, there's no chance of there being a state church. That's all he was saying. And that's what the Baptists stood for. They said, we don't want a state church. We want freedom of religion. We don't want the church to have anything, or the state to have anything to do with the church, or vice versa. But as far as Christians having an influence, that's exactly what is supposed to happen. That's why Congress shall pass no law prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Amen?
Amen.
So just make sure you're saved and on the Lord's side because Jesus is eventually going to win. Amen?
Amen.
You can get, I get the wrong response sometimes from people as during our current events updates. We provide current events updates so that you can be informed and think and act biblically. We in no way are trying to stir up everybody to become political activists. You know, or spend all your time trying to reform government and all that. That's not the point, and I've never urged you to do that during the current events updates. I urge you to be informed and to do what your duty is and do it biblically.
Amen.
But the main thing you should keep as the main thing. And the main thing is your personal walk with the Lord so that you can minister to others. As Jesus said, he didn't come to be ministered unto, but to minister. Your attitude should be, I am here to serve others. But you'll be no good unless you have a healthy walk with the Lord. You have a relationship with the Lord. That begins at the cross. That begins with his shed blood paying for your sins and you putting your full faith and trust in what he did on the cross and the power of his resurrection as your basis for eternal life, as your basis for your walk with the Lord. Now you're on solid ground. Now you have a healthy walk with the Lord. Now he can use you.
Amen.
A lot of people just want to be used even though they don't have the skill set. The skill set comes with your relationship with the Lord. He's the one who empowers you. Without a healthy relationship with the Lord, you're powerless. He's the one who gives you wisdom. Without a healthy relationship with the Lord, you have no wisdom. He guides you by his word. If you're not in his word, he can't guide you. He will not honor you being a practical atheist. You're just going to do it on your own? You're not going to walk with the Lord, talk with the Lord, be filled with the Spirit, but you're still going to serve the Lord? He won't have anything to do with it. And that's how too many people are trying to do it these days. So we come down to the last verse of our study, verse 26. And they could not take hold of his words before the people. And they marveled at his answer and held their peace. I believe this is a picture of what we're going to see at the Great White Throne. When people right now say, well, I think this about God, and I think that about God, and God, you know, some people get really nasty about it and act like they're going to, well, if there is a God on Judgment Day, I'm going to tell him what for.
Yeah.
You won't. Right. You'll be standing there naked, ashamed, and it'll dawn on you at that moment if it doesn't any time before. That you've done it.
Yep.
And now you're standing before a God bigger than the universe. You're not going to run your mouth.
No.
As it says here, you'll marvel and hold your peace. I think the only things that are going to come out of their mouths at the Great White Throne will be at the end of their moment of judgment when they bow a knee and confess that Jesus is Lord.
Yeah. Amen.
To the glory of God the Father. And that's the end. Unlike tax protesters, Jesus didn't give them fuel for their fire, so they had to keep on trying. A lot of Christians have suffered, churches have suffered, because they fight the government and fight this, and they end up in trouble. Now, if the government comes after you because you're taking a stand for what's right, you're preaching the gospel, so be it. That's happened for 2,000 years to Christians. But when they come after you because you're breaking tax laws, come after you because you're trying to actually undermine the government, where's that in Scripture? It's not there. And so we want to make it clear where we stand on these things as we study the words of Jesus Christ here in Luke 20. We pay our taxes. The church, churches who employ staff, they have to pay their taxes. We don't employ staff here, so we don't have to worry about that. But if you ever are part of a church that has staff and they try to get away from and around paying the taxes, there's going to be trouble. Let's close with a reading in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 30 to 39. Hebrews 10, 30 to 39. I'll have you join in the odd. I'll begin with verse 30. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But call to remembrance the former days, in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions. Partly whilst you were made a gazing stock both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, let's sing 389 in the hymn book. I am resolved. All five verses. You can stand if you're able. I am resolved.
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free.